Holy Spirit, pour out upon us wisdom and understanding, that being taught by you in Holy Scriptures, our hearts and our minds may be open to receive all that leads to life and holiness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Morning. Today's scripture lesson will be from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. A very memorable parable. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who are was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Now, children's message. Back to Cheryl.
Can the children come up for the children's message? Turn me down, John. Nobody wants to hear me that loud. Good morning. How are you guys today? Good morning. Good morning. Hi, honey. Good morning. Today we have one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Have you ever heard the story about Jesus feeding all those people with a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish? Have you guys heard that story before? And you know what my favorite part of that story is? Of course, one of my favorite things is that Jesus can do miracles. But in the book of John, which we didn't read, do you know who had the fish and the bread? There was actually a person who had the fish and the bread in the crowd. Do you know who that person was? Anybody know? Who was it? Jesus didn't have it. He did the miracle. It was a child. There was a child who came to listen to Jesus, and he was the one who brought the bread and the fish. The disciples, when Jesus said, "Well, let's feed the people," you know what the adults said? The disciples said, "Jesus, we don't have any food, and it's going to cost a lot of money to feed them." But one child had the food, and you know what the child did? Brought it to the disciples and said, "Oh, use my food." And the disciples brought it to Jesus, and Jesus was able to feed more than 5,000 people. That's a lot of people. Like, here there's probably 50. All right, we'll go with 50. So imagine, you know, so many more people. So this story makes me think of something. Brett, you are just a child, like the story from the Bible. And do you know that God can take you and do great things? Oh, I bet you do. He can do that with everyone. If you give Jesus a little bit, he can make it big. And you know what it means for me as an adult? Sometimes I say to the church, "Oh, I have no time. I only have a little bit of time." But this story makes me remember that Jesus can do miracles, and a little bit of food and a little bit of time can go a long way, because Jesus can do everything. We just have to give him a little bit, and he will show us and make miracles with our time and all of our talents. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for loving us, for gathering us today. Lord, we know you can do miracles, whether it be feeding 5,000 people or using us, the little bit that we can contribute, you can make it great. Lord, encourage and help us to give that little bit that we have and put it in your hands and watch your kingdom grow. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you, guys.
So my hunch is that most of us have some sort of habit or trait which others in our household may find slightly annoying. One of mine is that when I see something in the newspaper or a magazine that's interesting, I'll tear it out or I'll cut it out and I'll stick it in a book or put it in a file or put it under a pillow. And there's all sorts of things through our house. And my kids will find something in a book and say, yesterday I picked up a slip of paper on the floor. And it was a letter to the editor that I had written to the Chicago Tribune in 1982. Somebody cut it out and sent it to me back 40 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever that was. I don't know how it ended up on the floor. It dropped out of something. But one of the photos I have is a photograph of 15 people holding an 18-foot-long oarfish on a California beach. Now, later today, look up oarfish in Google, and you'll be pretty fascinated. It's a massive fish, rarely seen because it dwells at great depths in the ocean. Now, if the disciples had said to Jesus, Lord, we have nothing here but five gigantic loaves of bread and two oarfish, well, that might be enough to feed a massive crowd. But five loaves, two fish, that's something else. That's another matter. That's in the realm of miracle. The feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle that's mentioned in all four Gospels, Luke, Mark, John, Matthew. And so it's important. It's important for Jesus. It's important for the church. It's important for you and for me. So Jesus looks out over this vast throng who've come to hear his teachings. 5,000 men, the scripture says. So think, considering women and children, it must be a crowd close to 10,000 people. It's huge. Listening and being healed, Jesus has compassion upon them. He heals many of them. He has gone out to the wilderness reeling from the death of John the Baptist, but he's scarcely given time to mourn because people find out where he is and they come to hear him. And so he pours himself into human need. The afternoon turns to dusk, and the disciples say, you know, Lord, this is a remote place, and let's send the people back home. That's enough teaching for the day. And Jesus says, well, I have a better idea. They need not go away. You give them something to eat. What on earth does he expect us? Where on earth does he expect us to find enough food for so many? The disciples examine the scant resources at hand that the young boy has brought them. Five loaves, two fish. They say, Lord, that's all we have here. And Jesus says, bring them to me. Could anyone here use a miracle this morning? Perhaps you've come to this place as aware of scarcity and need as much as anything else. Whatever I have, you think, it's not enough. Not enough courage, not enough faith, not enough biblical knowledge. Not enough hours to fill the day, or not enough activities to fill the hours. Not enough income, not enough wisdom. You fill in the blanks. Whatever it is, you fall short. You feel you do not have the right stuff. We've nothing here but five loaves and two fish. And Christ says, bring them to me. So how does it happen? How does it happen, this miracle feeding? You know, scholars debate. There's all sort of theories put forth. Does Jesus multiply the loaves and fish up front when he's just gathered with his disciples, the moment he touches them, so that the disciples are distributing from a massive supply? Or does the miracle happen as the fish and bread circulate through the crowds? Hand your neighbor a piece of fish, suddenly it's two fish. A piece of bread suddenly becomes two. Break off a piece of bread, it grows back. I heard of a clergy conference a while back. I was not at this particular conference, but any who think clergy are so wise, this will shatter that notion. The speaker was preaching on this passage, and he held up a donut. And he says, now I'm going to circulate this donut through the crowd. And if we're careful, all 400 of us should receive a little piece. Now imagine being the last person. After 400 sweaty pastoral hands have handed this donut. Here you are, Ted. Eat it up. You know, yuck. Preachers are not so wise. There are two popular interpretations that explain this miracle. Now, I'll say up front that I'm not particularly drawn to either of these, though people wiser than I have interpreted them. I've sat and heard their teachings. I'm not so drawn to either one because I think we reduce Jesus' miracles when we try to rationally explain them. Sometimes there are simply miracles, and this is a miraculous feeding. So one popular interpretation is that this is a symbolic feeding, a spiritual feeding. As when we have the Lord's Supper, this is my body. This symbolizes my body broken for you. And everyone takes a piece, and their spiritual needs are met. In fact, the language is the same as at the final supper that Jesus, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it. But that was bread and wine, symbolizing his blood. This is bread and fish. Fish does not normally, you know, translate into blood. So there is symbolism, and also you have the difficulty with the 12 baskets full left over. So that explanation to rationalize this seems to fall a bit short. And the other common explanation, in fact, one time I preached in the church and the person doing the children's message gave this interpretation. So suddenly I'm caught up in saying, well, that's one. I don't necessarily hold to it. But this holds that as the feeding happened, people were moved by a spirit of generosity. And bread and fish, they thought, well, that's not enough. I need to add to it. And so they pulled out some grapes or a bit of lamb or bread that they tucked away for their own hunger, and they added that, and it circulated, and all were fed with enough left over. That's touching. You and I might even do the same. But that is selfishness overcome. That's a generous spirit. It's not so much miracle. Then the point of the story is, well, share what you have with others. It's vital. That's good. Hold on to that thought. But this story is about a miracle feeding and how through Jesus, even little becomes more than enough. Our tendency so often, isn't it, is to dwell on inadequacy. In the church, we do this. We do not have enough, and you fill in the blanks, enough members or enough youth or enough finances or enough resources in hand. There was a family in our Michigan church. We served in Michigan, Ada, Michigan, 14 years before moving to Pompton Lakes, 7 years in Chicago prior to that. But Marty and Michelle were a couple. They were fairly poor. They had three kids, and they lived in a very small house. And then they were prompted to adopt two Romanian orphans. They flew, Michelle flew to Romania, came back with two young children. And a pretty grand move, but they could not afford it. They could not afford it. There was not enough room in their house. Nobody said this to them, but many of us thought it. How could they do this? You know, my voice was among that little whispering chorus. They do not have enough space in their home. They don't have enough finances. They don't have enough patience for such a large household. And I baptized all five of their kids, and they seemed well-adjusted. How could this be? The family rarely missed a Sunday. Marty was a deacon, always exhausted, but he did the tasks well. And then Michelle flew overseas to adopt another Romanian orphan. And this was a little special needs girl. And we had our grandkids staying with us this weekend. And they're very familiar with the crying, as babies do. But Michelle, when she adopted this little Romanian girl, special needs, this daughter, she said, cried, wailed all the way home. It was like a 15-hour flight. Imagine being on that plane. Passengers were kind and flight attendants for about 10 of those 15 hours. But everyone lost patience. But there the whispering really started. How can they afford this? How can they do this? What are the limits? And eventually this good family moved on to another church for a variety of reasons. But I tend to think that one of the reasons was they wearied of that chorus of those who felt they did not have enough. We were wrong. There was more than enough. Love is an inexhaustible supply. We have nothing here but five loaves and two fish. And Jesus says, bring them to me. You think of Jesus, the more he gave of himself, the more he thrived, the more he inspired. Philippians has that wonderful verse, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be grasped, but emptied himself. Taking on human form, he became a servant, obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Love is an inexhaustible resource. You think of God in the creation process of more than enough. God could have made one flower, let's say a rose, a red rose. That would be beautiful enough for most of us. We would not know what we're missing. You know, get in the car, kids. We're going to see the rose. Miracle. Or one fish. A trout. Beautiful. But God, in his excessive abundance, created millions of flowers and fish for us to enjoy, including the gigantic oarfish. And people, here is a God who, once he starts creating animals and flowers and stars and birds and humans, simply did not know when to quit. Just excessive abundance. You give them something to eat, Jesus says to his disciples. Stop focusing on what you do not have. Bring what you have to me, however little. In my hands I will use it, transform it. It's more than enough. The Father will make up the difference. So what is it that you bring to Jesus? Think on that for a second. Cheryl in the children's message reminded us, small amount, the power of small things. I happen to be a fan of the small church. The large churches, as you know, get a lot of press and publicity, but I think lives are impacted by a small community every bit as much as the larger church. So what is it you bring to Jesus? A compassionate spirit, God will use that in ministries of caring and of mercy. The people who simply need to hear a kind word spoken, if you're willing to invest and give that away on Christ's behalf. Concern for the hungry and the destitute, the lonely. Is it words that you need to speak to another? Maybe it's, you know, I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Or, I forgive you. Small words that carry terrific weight. Concern for children and youth. That's pretty vital. It's one of the God-given responsibilities. Because of the kids who do not come through these doors into Abundant Life Reformed Church are not being cared for and prayed for and nurtured and strengthened, there are all sorts of forces out there waiting to get their hands on them and take them in all sorts of directions. It's a powerful responsibility that you have. At the other end of the spectrum, if people reach their 70s or 80s, 90s, and feel that they're simply a non-factor, that they're not cared for, then the church has shirked a vital responsibility from conception to when our heart stops beating. We have a care for all. How about a heart for the unchurched? Any church needs that within a half-mile direction of Abundant Life, I would venture to say, or any church, are dozens, hundreds, who think of Jesus as perhaps an historical figure who lived at one time. Need people to help them fall in love with Jesus, to see Jesus' actions, his words, his caring. You are the hands, the feet, the voice of Jesus Christ for many. Bring what you have. Offer it to the Lord. Notice that Jesus does not create the fish and the bread out of nothing. He uses the resources at hand. Through Jesus, little becomes much. Look around this sanctuary and see those who have these gifts that make a difference, or impact that each individual makes in some small or large way, often some hidden way. There's a fellow named Dave who had a remarkable impact on my faith when I was becoming a Christian in my early 20s. And I keep thinking, I need to write to Dave and let him know that. And I think I will. I think I will. I've thought about it for so long. I don't think he has any idea. But people hungry to make a difference, hungry and willing to make a difference with their gifts and talents and tithes and income in ways that impact others. Nothing is too small when you do it for the Lord. We have more than enough. Mary Ann Bird, a teacher, a writer, tells about the impact of small things of value in her life. She was one well aware of scarcity and lack. Mary Ann Bird grew up with multiple birth defects. She was deaf in one ear, had a cleft palate, disfigured face, crooked nose, lopsided feet. And as a child, you know, she endured not only the physical struggles of these defects, the impairments, but the cruelty of others, the bullying that she received. Hey, Mary Ann, what happened to your lip? Oh, I cut it on a piece of glass. One of the worst experiences in school was the annual hearing test. Now, I don't believe they do it this way any longer, but in the 1950s, growing up in Columbus, Ohio, I remember this test. It's a test that Mary Ann Bird dreaded, but each child would be called to the teacher's desk up front. Some of you may remember this. There's a few of you that are older than me in this place. And you'd stand there, and you'd cup your ear, and the teacher would whisper, "Sky is blue," or "You have new shoes." And if you said it back to her, you passed the test. It was that simple. If not, you saw the school nurse. As I said, ways have progressed since then. But Mary Ann Bird hated that test because she knew other students were looking, and they knew that she was deaf, she couldn't hear, and they thought that was very funny. So then one year, she was in the class of the beloved Miss Leonard. Every student wanted to be noticed by Miss Leonard. Came the day of the dreaded hearing test, and when her turn came, Mary Ann Bird went forward and cupped her ear. She knew she couldn't cheat this time. And here are her words. Mary Ann Bird later wrote, "I waited for those words which God must have put into Miss Leonard's mouth. Those seven words that changed my life." Miss Leonard did not say, "The sky is blue," or "You have new shoes." What she whispered was, "I wish you were my little girl." And Mary Ann Bird claimed those words, and she went on to be a teacher herself, a compassionate, caring individual who touched many, many lives because of those seven little words. "Bring it to me," Jesus says. "However small, I will multiply it beyond recognition." It's only our hesitancy, our reluctance to risk, our fear that what we have is not enough, that keeps us from fully exercising faith in God's abundance. As Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fish, go forth to multiply works of love and compassion, caring and grace, and living out the truths of Jesus Christ. Because when offered in Jesus' name, even a little becomes much. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, open our eyes to see all the gifts that you give us. Help us to call forth the gifts that we see in others and to equip people to be faithful to your claim upon our lives. Push us out into the world in your name. Eyes open to see this world as the arena for your miraculous activity. And grant us faith to see that you have given us all that we need and more. In your name, amen. Will you stand and join with me in repeating the words of what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.